Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Down the middle of the field. He's got Cruz. 35, 30.
Rosen intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live, presented by DraftKings, right here on Giants.com. John Schmelk, Jeff Fiegels with you. The phone number to chat, 201-939-4513, or on Twitter, hashtag GiantsChat. Free agency begins next week. You have the legal tampering period, as it likes to be called, early next week. And then free agencies. Well, there is a part where you can negotiate with free agents. There's nothing off-put about this, Jeff. Don't try to start controversies here.
Legal tampering.
Where you're allowed to talk to guys before they actually hit the market on March 9th. So that comes your way early next week. And this is about the time, Jeff, where over the weekend you'll start getting some leaks. You'll start getting some whispers where this team's really going to go after this guy as soon as they have the chance. This team's going to target this guy as soon as they have the chance. Now, usually, the Giants aren't involved in that sort of thing because they follow the rules. But other teams, from time to time, can sometimes try to get a little bit of a head start.
Not follow the rules. So, I think that this team, I think at this point, John, and I think you'll agree with me, every team knows who they're going after.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, they've had 3 or 4 months to figure it out, Jeff. So they obviously know who they're targets are going to be, but this is important. I mean, and the Giants are in a situation with free agency, Jeff, where they're going to have to do some stuff early. And a lot of times they like to be patient, wait, but with all the resources they have available, if they want to, you know, use that money the best way possible, they're going to have to spend some big money early in this free agent period.
And a lot of the guys that we have talked about over the last 2 or 3 weeks, you know, that are impact players, the top free agents, well, the franchise tags came out the last couple of days, and, you know, so you kind of understand those guys are off the board. And now some of these guys that the teams want to go after, they, you know, there's going to be a lot of teams buying for their services quickly. And then all of a sudden, then you move into the what I call the tier kind of B players that are going to be, you know, the guys you target because you can't get – there's no more A guys left.
Right, and Lance and I talked about this yesterday. Even if there's a quote-unquote B-tier guy there, but you think he is a specifically good fit for your team, go after him in the first group.
Listen, exactly, and I think that just because he's a B guy, but if you have a need – and he's there, and you have the money, which, by the way, the Giants have the money, they go after him. And I think that defensively is where they got to go. They got a lot of work to do defensively, and I think that they will – the first thing they do will address the defensive side of the football along with the draft. I believe that's where they'll be doing a lot of their homework too.
In any given offseason, Jeff, and obviously it can vary, I understand, but in your opinion as a player, I'd like to get your take on this. When a team like the Giants knows they have a lot of resources – out of this huge group of free agents, how many guys, when all is said and done and their evaluation process is finished, do you think they go down their list and say, I think this many players are not only good enough to play and start for us, but are also a good fit for what they do? How long do you think that list ends up being of guys they really try to target early? Now, they might end up going to other guys later on in the process,
but
in terms of optimal
list,
fit and talent, how many guys do you think are on that list at the start of free agency?
And I think it all depends on the position. Obviously, you're not going to have 10 deep on a punting position, but, I mean, you know what I'm saying? So there'll be that. But I believe that you got – I think they're ranked. I think that they're ranked from 1 to 10 maybe. And then you just start checking them off. Okay, now you're one guy. Whoa, sorry about that, people.
Jeff always trying to do business. Even
somebody's
when he's
trying
on
to
the
call
air.
Me and ask me the same question. Just watch our show. I'll give you the answer. I think that it just depends, John. I think they have them ranked and they have a number for them. But maybe, realistically, I think that there's probably 5 people on that list.
Is that short of a list, you think?
Yeah, I do. Because I feel like after that, if you're fifth on that list, where really would you land I don't feel like you're as important anymore, because, you know, the 6th, 7th, and 8th guy to me is, can we wait a little bit longer? Like you said, you got to get in this game right away to get your top guys.
Now, team to team, how different do you think those lists are based on need and system and coach and fit?
I think that they're not that different. But I think as far as ranking the players, I don't think they're that different. I think, but each team with their needs, there is 4-3 defense, 3-4 defense, slot, you know, X, whatever it is you're looking for offensively. But I think for the most part, John, the guys are there. They're there. They know who they are. Every team's got them. They might rank them a little bit differently because of certain things, but I think those names. For instance, if you and I were looking at our list right here at tight ends, right. I bet there might be one different one on there that you might like and I don't.
Right, and it's not going to go much further than that.
It's not.
All right, well, NFL.
Because we're free agents, John. These are guys that played in the league now.
Well, let me ask you this. From a player's perspective, you've gone through free agency. This process is like. When you got picked up as a free agent, how early in the process were you signed? Or did you have to wait around a little bit?
I was always – when I was a free agent, I'll take that back. So I was a free agent after getting released, so that was different.
And you can get signed then before the period starts,
then
right?
I could get signed before. So that happened one time with me. And then after that, it was pretty much within the first 3 or 4 days of free agency.
How many teams were calling your agent to start?
It was usually two.
Really? That's it, huh?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yep. Because I feel like, you know, every year in my position, there isn't that many guys that are moving around. How many teams that actually need them out of the 32
That's a good
teams,
point.
There's really, you know, at some point in time, there might be some teams that maybe five.
And there's only one punter on each team.
One guy. So if five teams are vying for a punter in
That's
free
fair.
Agency, and for instance, when I came to the Giants, they had just come off a debacle in the San Francisco game and all that. they needed somebody, and they actually needed all three of us. They needed the snapper, the kicker, and the
– You aren't going to long snap, though. You aren't going to long
snap. But they brought in the snap. They brought in Keel. Remember, they brought in Keel, and they brought in myself, and they brought in Mike, the kicker. Anyways, he was from Hollis, Mike Hollis. All three of us were free agents that year. Remember, they brought in the kicker, snapper, and the punter that year, the holder, if you want to.
Yeah, Mike Collis obviously was Coach Coughlin's kicker back in Jacksonville.
Exactly.
And that was the connection there. We'll get to your calls. I see them lined up already at 201-939-4513. We'll have Bob Glauber from Newsday. Does a great job covering the NFL as a whole. We'll talk about free agency and how this whole thing might start going down early next week. The one thing I want to get to before we get to you guys on the phones, it'll just be a couple minutes. The NFL.com put out a couple of interesting lists. They had two lists here.
They like lists.
One list, yes. Well, lists get clicks. And as Dave Dominic, people love lists. Top five things, top seven things. Dan Salamone's whole life is one big list. One of our fine writers here.
They like lists.
They love lists. Free agents who they think will get paid too much.
I want to be on that list.
And here's the list. I think it's interesting. And a lot of these guys are what many people consider the top free agents on the market. So, again, this is the opinion of the Around the NFL staff. So, I guess it's a consensus of a lot of the reporters that work for NFL.com. Doug Martin, the running back.
Kind of had a resurgence last year.
He did, but he had two bad years before that.
Yeah. But he's going to get overpaid.
Greg Hardy.
Are you
they
kidding?
Believe will get overpaid. See, I don't think that's true. I think people are running away from him. And, you know, the Cowboys give everybody a chance. They don't even want any part of Greg Hardy after last year because he couldn't show up to a meeting on time.
I can't see him getting overpaid.
No,
I can see him maybe getting signed but not overpaid.
And I could see him simply, if you're talking about on-the-field production, outplaying the value of his contract. Now, his nonsense off the field and being an awful human being might, you know,
bend
it back
there.
The other way,
right.
But just in terms of on-field production. I like this one. I think this one makes sense. Ryan Fitzpatrick on their list.
Sure.
For guys that might get overpaid. And we just saw Sam Bradford get $18 million a year, 2 years, 36, I think it was.
I know he got some.
And I'm sure that's what Mr. Fitzpatrick agent is showing the Jets. Look.
We've got precedents.
Exactly. And the Jets had to figure it out because I'm not sure if he's a franchise quarterback. Mohamed Sanu is on the list, which I find interesting because the wide receiver class is thin. I know a lot of Giant fans have called up in wanting Mr. Sanu.
Yeah.
Good slot possession receiver. And he can run some trick plays. And the one thing that might – if you want to pick out one thing, folks, that might change now that Tom Coughlin's not
here.
I know
you. Trick play. There you go.
They might run some trick plays. There's a shot. There's a shot you might get a couple of trick plays.
Green Bay did it all the time.
And Sanu is good at that, you know, wide receiver option pass type of thing. Bruce Irvin, linebacker from Seattle.
Yeah.
See, I think he's going to be a good fit in a 3-4 defense as an outside linebacker. Because I think he can rush the passer, but also do a couple other things.
I agree.
Malik Jackson on the list. Probably the top or second best defensive lineman.
USA Today has got him number one.
Depending on what you think of Olivier Vernon, I guess that would be kind of the, you know, give or take there. And then Eric Weddle is the last guy in the guys that will be overpaid list.
I agree with 90% of that list. I don't agree with Hardy. And who's the other guy?
Sanu?
No, actually, I think yeah, I agree with all those except for Hardy. I don't think he's going to get overpaid.
I'm on board. I think that's right.
I think that Ryan Fitzpatrick will he's going to get paid.
Well, I think the Jets are in a no-win situation. I don't want to spend too much time in the Jets quarterback situation here. But what happens? If you let him go, you're rolling the dice with Geno Smith.
And
what has he done?
And their young guy.
But if you give him a lot of money and Ryan Fitzpatrick plays like Ryan Fitzpatrick has played for 90% of his career, you're going to be kicking yourself.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you go look at what he did last year, and that team is one team that is definitely has gotten better. They had a good season. They got a second-year coach now.
Yeah.
And they certainly don't want to go into the offseason or even into the season without that missed that piece. You got to have a quarterback. You know that.
Players that will offer the most value. So I guess these are the bargains.
Okay, so this is where you look at.
Right.
In my opinion, this is where you do your homework, and this to me will mean more than who will get overpaid by all means.
And I think there are some interesting names here. So here we go.
Overvalue. So you're going to get a little bit more
than what you pay for.
Than what you pay for.
Which is very rare in free agency, mind you. You don't get that very often. Number one, two running backs, Chris Ivory and Lamar Miller.
Interesting.
I think Lamar Miller is going to get paid. To be honest with you, I think Chris Ivory might come on a bargain because people are worried about his ability to stay healthy given his physical running style. But Lamar Miller has been underutilized in Miami.
Yeah.
He doesn't have a lot of carries on those legs of his. I think he's going to get paid, and frankly, I think whoever signs him is going to get a pretty good player.
There you go. And I'll agree with that. I don't think you're going to get much production out of Ivory, but that's, you know.
Walter Thurmond,
okay,
who the Eagles got last year on a good deal, put him at safety. Kelvin Beachum, offensive tackle, ACL tear 6 games into last year. So that's going to be something that teams are keeping an eye on. But he started all 16 games in 2014, a top 10 left tackle, but again, he hurt himself. So that could be a guy that someone rolls the dice on an injury. Maybe he can come back and play a little bit.
And if he does, then and he stays healthy for those 16 games,
yeah,
then that's why he's on this list.
This guy I like. I think this is a great value, and I've mentioned his name for the Giants as well. Dwayne Allen. The tight end from the Colts. He kind of split time with Colby Fleener there.
Yep.
He can catch it. He can block a little bit. Now, I think he's had some injury issues over the past couple of years, but to me, that would be a great fit as a guy, a tight end that can play both ways.
I agree. He is definitely a guy. He's a good blocker. He's a good receiver. He's a veteran. I've been on this tangent for tight end stuff since we've been talking about free agency and drafting. I think that the Giants have to get somebody of that caliber, whether it's him or the guy from Denver.
This guy,
the Packers. Corliss is his name?
Yeah, Corliss.
Yep.
This guy, I don't know if I believe he's on the list correctly. Vernon Davis. I think he might be toast.
I don't know. He did nothing last year.
I think he might be done.
And I think we were all thinking, like, oh, my God, he's coming over to the Broncos. He's going to have Peyton Manning. I mean, that guy can just, like, he did nothing.
Then you got Jay Howard, defensive lineman for the Chiefs. Obviously, he's not really looked at as much as he should because they have Justin Houston and Tamba Ali. Penetrating 300-pound defensive lineman, can play defensive tackle. Honestly, don't know a ton about him, but he's on the list. I like this name too, Ladarius Green, tight end from the Chargers, a guy that's played with or behind Antonio Gates.
Sure, filled in nicely when he got suspended.
Not quite the blocker that Dwayne Allen is, but I think he's probably a better athlete and a bigger play threat in the passing game. Tyvon Branch is safety. He just played 435 snaps last year. But is that because he wasn't good enough or because, you know, it was a very crowded defensive backfield for the Chiefs? So I think that's a safety the Giants could look at. Derek Shelby, defensive end for the Dolphins. He's under Again, much like the other guy, he's not looked at quite as much because of Vernon, because of Sue. I think he's a guy that could be a good signing. Jahari Evans, the guard that got cut by the Saints, he had signed a big contract. They let him go, so now he's back on the market. Maybe you can get him on a little bit of a deal. And then they have Mitchell Schwartz on the underpaid list. To me, I think he's going to get paid. That's just me. I think as a starting right tackle, maybe one of the best ones on the board, I think he's going to get his money.
Sure. And I mean, he'll probably get some money, and he'll bring you value, which is very, very rare if
all right.
you can get that. And, you know, John, one thing, too, about in free agency is that we you know, I think you have to understand that it's not a perfect science. And, you know, a lot of these guys, once they sign on that dotted line and they get that signing bonus, there's the type of people that you got the type that say they become very comfortable with that big wad of cash in their pocket. Or there's the other guy that says, I want everybody to understand that I'm worth that type of money. There's your difference. And it's very difficult for GMs and owners to give out this type of money, but there is never, ever any guarantee that it's going
to
work.
And don't you also have to make that same calculation when you draft a guy?
Well, I think it's easier in my mind when you have a guy in the draft than it is free agents, believe it or not. I really do. Yeah, because I just feel, John, I feel like
– interesting.
Think about big money free agents, okay? If they're coming off their first contract, they're obviously young, so they've been in the league for 4 or 5 years, depending on where that contract was. And these guys, I feel like they're going to make the money, and I don't understand a lot of times their work ethic. Some of them just kind of – they kind of take for granted, where the draft pick guys, they got everything to learn and earn. I mean, their future is right in front of them. So I think a lot of these guys in free agent, they get paid and they don't pan out. They get their money and they just figure, you know what, I got my cash, I got my signing bonus, I'm going to play. They're not going to cut me because of the cap hit for 2 years. And after that, I'm riding off in the sunset. These guys were the idiots that gave me all this money. You know, so you're laughing, but it worked. Honestly, if you go down the list in the last 10 years and look at to some of the busts in free agency.
Let me ask you something. I'm not going to ask you to give me a former Giant because that wouldn't be fair. Do you have a name from a previous stop, a guy that got big money, showed up, and you're like, wow, this guy has put the stamp on the envelope and is quite happy to – just, you know, cruise.
I don't know because
and honestly, I don't want you to throw anybody on the bus. I don't want to put you in a bad spot.
No, but
with
it
anybody.
Happens. I mean, maybe I could not somebody that I might have played for, but I could give you, you know, let me think about that.
All right, think about it. In the meantime, I want to remind fans that Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings, a daily fantasy sports destination. At DraftKings, you can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com, enter promo code CONTACT to play for free today. DraftKings, fantasy sports free-to-play. It's funny, I told somebody your Chuck Cecil Pro Bowl story the other day. They found it quite amusing.
Chuck Cecil. Did I tell you something about Chuck Cecil?
Wasn't that the guy that apologized for laying you out in the Pro Bowl?
Oh, no, it was Atwater.
Oh, that was Steve Atwater. I'm sorry. That was Atwater.
That's
my
okay.
Fault.
Yeah, I was like, okay, wait a second. No, Chuck Cecil, you remember, for all those who remember Chuck Cecil, he was a teammate of mine, too, in Phoenix.
Other teams did not like Chuck Cecil very much, by the way.
Pretty much got blackballed out of the league, if you remember.
Oh, he basically killed people.
He basically was killing people.
He laid people out.
Oh, my
Chuck
God.
Cecil.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And
but it was Steve Atwater that apologized to you.
Oh, yeah. But Chuck Cecil was he was quite the assassin, man. I'll tell you what. He went after people. And
Cardinals were with him, right?
Yeah. And then remember, the league kept fining him so much money that nobody wanted to take a chance on him anymore. And now, you know, he's turned it around. He's been in the league coaching for probably 10, 12 years.
Which is amazing when you think about it. It shows, you know, guys figure it out. It's one thing playing, one thing coaching. All right, here we go. 201-939-4513. Bob Glauber, 1230 from Newsday, talking about free agency. In the meantime, your calls. Ash is in Ohio. He'll lead us off today.
Hey,
Ash. Kickoff Live. Ash, good morning. How are you?
How we doing, John? How we doing, Jeff?
Good, man.
To answer your question, John, about the free agents that signed that didn't do as good as they were, I was thinking about was Albert Haynesworth. Remember him?
That's
a couple
good one.
Years ago, back.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I remember the rumor out there was that the Giants offered him a big deal, too. And, you know, good thing sometimes
And that
don't
was
happen.
Big money. Remember, that was like the most anybody ever signed. And, man, did he lay an egg. Woo.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, Albert Haynesworth. Well, the question I was asking, I see we are a big priority with the Giants and free agents will be pass rusher and free safety and think about them. But I was calling to see about another position that we in dire need of. They don't want to really talking about, which is the corner position. We got, besides Dominique Rodgers from DRC, Prince. We haven't really talked about Prince resigning, and besides them two, we didn't really have anybody. So I was calling to see who would y'all think we're looking at as far as in the cornerback position, and we hear anything about Prince being resigned.
Well, I know that you know, we'll find out sooner or later with Prince, and I think he's going to get a chance to go out in the open market and see what he's worth.
And Prince has said on the radio that basically the last conversation he had was that he would test the open market and figure it out. So okay. I would not expect him to re-sign before the period starts.
Sure. And so, but I think you make a good point. I think if you look at the depth behind those guys actively right now on the roster for the Giants, there would be a little bit of concern in my
it's
mind
shallow.
There.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Simply bodies. And, no you question. Know, this isn't the deepest free agent market, which is why I think, you know, from what I understand and what people were telling me at the Combine is that Prince's agent is looking to, you know, get his client a very good contract based on the fact that the corner position, you know, is a little shallow. Some names that are free agents that might interest you, Casey Hayward from the Packers. He's a guy that can play the slot, play outside. I don't think he'd be a huge expenditure. The two top guys that are out there right now are probably Janoris Jenkins and Sean Smith.
Yeah.
Jenkins is coming off his rookie deal. I think he was either an early second-round pick or late first-round pick, but he had a lot of off-the-field issues coming out of college, but he seems to have put those behind him for the most part. Sean Smith, big physical corner for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Pac-Man Jones.
He's a veteran. That's a guy that's out there. Brandon Boykin, the slot corner, who used to be with Philly.
Yeah,
now
I mean,
he's with Pittsburgh. Morris Claiborne from the Cowboys, former first-round pick, if that gets you excited. Top five pick, actually. The Jets cut Antonio Cromartie. If that interests you,
no.
Cortland Finnegan, another veteran corner that plays with a bit of an edge.
But as far as those two, the better two that name, no Giants, as far as crazy, they look younger and more older, so
yeah.
I didn't really think of.
Yeah,
I was just
going to
say
it. Cortland Finnegan, they go to the younger, you know, Giants like to sign younger players in their mid-20s, so I didn't really think of Cromartie or Finnegan
no.
being in their upper 30s.
But I like
I really
the draft.
Like Janoris Jenkins, is there any chance the Giants may pursue him or look his way as far as try to talk to him, especially for Jenkins being a corner on the opposite side of DRC?
I think it's a distinct possibility. I really do. I think that, you know, listen, you could go out in the draft and draft a first-rounder or a second-rounder as a corner, and they can step in and play for you, but the Giants aren't going to do that. I think they're going defensive end, defensive line. So where do you start with that cornerback position? And it's in free agency. So if you got the money to spend and that's one of your primary focuses, then you go and get a guy like Jenkins. You go out there and you wine and dine him and bring him in here. You know, so I think it's a very distinct possibility that they could go after and sign him. I really do.
Okay.
Who else you think? You said safety, free safety. Well, we've talked about safety before.
Free safety. I'm thinking, what do you think about the guy from the Browns, Tipson Gibson? I really think he's a young guy, and I really know it. I think he's out, won't be asking price, won't be a lot. So I think he'd be a nice fit for the Giants as far as Gibson, Tipson.
Tayshawn Gibson's the kid name. He had a really good year 2 years ago. This past season, he didn't play as well. 3 years ago, he didn't play as well. So he's kind of been up and down a little bit throughout his career. Obviously, the Browns had all sorts of issues last year, and they have had the last few years. So you have to take that into consideration. But, you know, you say, you know, you don't think he's going to get a lot of money. We don't know that. I mean, these 26-year-old players coming off their rookie contracts are very valuable to teams.
No question.
Because they feel like if they give them a 4-year, 5-year contract, they might actually be able to fulfill
at least
four or five years
yeah.
of that contract because they're only 26. So I think assuming any 26-year-old on this free agent market is going to come for cheap, I think you have to push the brakes, which is one of the reasons Janoris Jenkins might be so sought after because he's coming off that rookie deal and he's simply a very young player still in the beginning of his prime.
Now, as far as the safeties that you got in the Bengals, those positions are Reggie Nelson and Jersey Loka. Which position did they free safety? Is Loka or was Reggie Wilson a free safety over there? As far as the two things, I think one of them will be leaving since they may sign one, but I think one of them may be going. As far as the two safeties, and since they, what do you think about them too?
My understanding is that Nelson's the better cover guy. I'd have to double-check that, but when I did my research a couple months ago, that's what I saw. And thanks a lot for the call, Ash. We appreciate it. He's a veteran, and I think that's the type of veteran you're looking to pair with Landon Collins. I want to squeeze in two more calls before we get to Globber at 12:30 because they've been on the line and holding since the start of the show. Bob in Texas is up next. Bob, how are you?
I'm fine.
Good.
What's up, Bob? What do you got?
Here, You guys hear me okay?
Loud and clear, Bob.
Okay. My phone tends to drop when I call the show, so I got 3 points I'm going to go rapid fire.
Do it.
Try to get them in. First of all, let's re-sign William Beatty at a lower salary. I don't think his injuries are career-threatening, and he'd either be a starter or a heck of a depth guy.
I don't think that.
There's been a lot of talk about how we can't count on Victor Cruz to be a number two receiver, so we need to go out and get, you know, Sununu or whatever his name is.
Sanu.
Yeah, Sanu. We had a number two receiver. His name was James Jones. He averaged 18 yards a catch last year and had 8 touchdowns. And the fans that were screaming that we shouldn't have cut him were right. And Jerry and Tom, I believe, were wrong. The third point is we were the most injured team in the NFL last year for the third year in a row. And I did some math. The chances of that happening by accident are 33,000 to 1. So we must be doing something. We must be doing something wrong.
We're not playing the lottery.
I figured that we're getting players and not paying enough attention to durability. So that would be on Jerry. And then somehow when we got them, we don't seem to look after them as well. It must be a combination of those two things. So I salute Coach McAdoo for getting in a new strength and conditioning guy and hope that, you know, Jerry will pay more attention to durability, because the main reason why we had a losing record the past 3 years, in my opinion, is entirely the injury situation.
Well,
I got that all in.
Hi, right, Bob. Thanks a lot for the call, Bob. We appreciate it.
Well, really, when you talk about, absolutely, the injury situation has had a huge effect on the last 3 years, because you had your depth on the team is you can only go so far until the guys you're putting on the field are actually able to compete against the guys that are on the other side of the field. I mean, that's number one. I think that it's very hard to put to understand where and why and how all these injuries happen. Is it in the weight room? Is it on the field? Is it nutrition? Is it this way? But the Giants are doing a lot of investigation. They're trying to do a lot of different things.
And they have changed a lot.
They did. That's what I'm saying. Like last year, they really did the GPS stuff. I mean,
taking Friday off, all that sort of thing.
They changed up things. Yeah. Now, Coach McAdoo is going to change it up a little bit more. This is really weird. I was thinking about this the other day. For people that don't know that Coach McAdoo, what he's going to do, he's going to give the players off on Monday, and now Tuesday is a work day, where historically Tuesdays have always been the day off for football players in the NFL. That's a little bit strange to me, but he said it's because of sleep patterns. The guys could get more sleep, so maybe that, you know, sleep has a lot to do with injuries. It really does. The body needs the sleep, and some of these guys evidently may not be getting enough sleep, and that's why he's doing it. So we'll hear more about that.
And quickly commenting on the first two things he mentioned, which was Will Beatty, I think once you let a guy go, it's going to be awkward for players to then get brought back after they get cut.
But only if they know that the reason they're getting released is because we're going to ask you to take a pay cut. We're going to re-sign you. But that wasn't the deal with Beatty. There wasn't any of that kind of conversation, at least we don't know.
Right. And then I'm trying to think what the other point was.
A receiver, Beatty. James Jones.
Oh, yeah. And you know what?
Listen,
James Jones was fine last year, folks. You know one of the reasons the Packers didn't go all the way last year and get to the NFC Championship game? It's because their passing game was too inconsistent, because Aaron Rodgers didn't have receivers that could consistently get open. And who was the second wide receiver on that team? James Jones. So I think people overrate the impact he could have had last year, to be honest with you.
And they also overrate why they didn't stick around. He was told he was going to be, you know, the three or the four when he wanted to be the one or the two.
And frankly, if you look at his numbers compared to Reuben Randall, Randall had more touchdowns, I believe, and I think their numbers are pretty similar, to be quite honest with you.
Interesting.
I think. I would have to look at it again.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go to Ernest in Connecticut. Then we'll get Bob Glauber up from Newsday. Ernest, I haven't heard from you in a while, pal. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm doing real, real good. And what about yourself?
We're doing great, Ernest.
Yeah.
Good to hear from
you.
What's up?
Okay. I'm going to make a statement. Then I'm going to ask a question. One thing is, I'm wondering if they ever thought about moving Prince Amukamara to safety, because he's a very good tackler, and I never really trust his cover skill that much. So that was just something that I had on my mind. But Tom Coughlin, I read, is very upset that the way the Giants let him go. He didn't feel that it was fair, and I to me, I think that Tom got enough of chances to turn that team around, and he just did not do it. I know he's trying to say that it's Reese's fault, but if you look at six of those games, the Dallas game, the Jets game, who else? The
Falcons.
Also the
Jets,
Atlanta Falcons.
Patriots.
Those two games were definitely coaching errors. We could have won those games. And when you have four running backs, that you know, need the running backs toward the later part of the game to keep the lead when you have a weak defense. Tom Coughlin was the only coach in the National Football League who used four different running backs. None could get a rhythm on the running game.
I got you, Ernest.
Blame Reese for the personnel.
What's your point on Prince? What's
got rid of his offensive coordinator, Tom stayed. They got rid of his defense coordinator, Tom
Ernest,
stayed.
I get it. You're happy they moved on from Tom. That happened 2 months ago. It's all good. I'm not going to argue with you. You wanted to make a point on Prince. Why don't you make that point?
Okay. And Prince, the thing is about Prince is I believe that Prince, I would like to see him stay, but I would like to see him stay as a safety. I think he would be a very good safety. He's a very good, you know, he's a very physical, tackler. But I would like to see him come back as a little bit of a reduced price if he would take that.
All right, Ernest, thanks a lot for the call, man. Yeah. We appreciate it.
We got Bob on the other line.
We got Bob Glauber from Newsday. And real quick, Ernest, before we go to Bob.
It's not
going to
happen.
I don't see Prince going to safety. I get it. His body type might lend you to think that he could possibly do it down the road, and maybe he could. But right now he's a corner. It's the only position he's ever played, and that's where
and
he's going to be this
he's
year.
He's not coming back here. He's probably going to get a deal somewhere.
You think so?
I think so. Yeah, I think so. Well, look, you think about the depth. At the free agent markets and cornerbacks. I mean, I think Prince might be one of the top guys now. These guys are all, so we'll see.
Well, let's find out what Bob Glauber has to say. He covers the Giants and, of course, the National Football League for Newsday. Bob, thanks for joining us, my friend. Have you recovered from your very exciting trip to Indianapolis for the Combine last week?
Oh, sure. I was recovered as soon as I landed.
I bet. Just to get out of there. That'll recover you enough.
No, it's fine. It's a process. It's an experience, and everybody should do the combine. If you're in journalism, you got to do the combine at least once, if not 20
times. Now, Bob, did you see what the Seahawks did with the media that covers their team?
No.
The Seahawks had a media combine with the folks that cover them out there in Seattle. Would you be willing to put that together for the New York beat writers?
You mean like where we do physical things?
That is correct. They did 40s. Uh-oh. They did like cone drills and all that sort of stuff. It's online. You can check it out.
I personally would love that. And is that on video anywhere?
It is. I believe it is on the internet somewhere. So just Google it and you can find it.
I personally would love to do that. I would certainly volunteer to oversee that. And I think we'd get a lot of laughs over it.
And I think if we do it, I think you have to make Hanlon do it with you guys.
Yeah. Hey, Bob, you know.
Hanlon, you know, he would come up with some excuse not to do it.
And then be there and heckle.
Because he physically couldn't do it. There you go, Hanlon.
Yeah, he would win the heckling portion of the combine, right? You know, Bob, I would imagine all the years that you've been covering the combine, which is too many for us to mention, I'm sure. But this is kind of, isn't it turned into a little bit of a media kind of, it's almost like, you know, if you count how many people there were from the media 20 years ago at the combine to compose today, it's turned into quite a media, right?
Right. You know, I pass every day through the convention center. I pass the room where we used to have the media room, and it was about a 30th of the size of the current room.
Wow.
We had maybe 100 reporters in there at desks, and now it's, what, 1,300 reporters? Wow. No, it's four times as many reporters as there are players. So you get reporters talking to reporters and, you know, media talking to media. It's just, it's a big thing, and it's a big extravaganza. And I think it's going to get bigger. I have a feeling they may open this thing up a little bit more to the public, maybe let them see the interviews, sit in on the interviews and let them listen. This thing is going to keep growing, and just as the sport keeps growing, the combine will.
Now, there's a lot of rumbling, too, Bob, that in 3 or 4 years when they have that whole complex built out in L.A. with the Rams, that could be a place where the combine might fall, as well as the NFL draft, from what I'm hearing, right?
Oh, shoot.
Yeah, I don't I would be stunned. I would be stunned if either or both of those events aren't held there at some point, at least sometimes, or perhaps on a more permanent or at least a regular basis.
All right. Well, let's get down to business with free agency, Bob. We've spent enough time on the combine. Let's start with the Giants' three free agents first. You were just talking about Prince before you came on. You also have JPP. You also have Robert Ayers. What's your feel for how much those guys are going to be pursued by other teams once free agency begins, and what's the market going to look like if the Giants do want to bring them back?
Well, I think that all of those guys are going to be pursued. I think it's a fairly weak free agent class overall, and people have a lot of money. So that will certainly drive up the price for players that people think may not have as much value. So I think Prince is going to draw a lot on the open market because everybody needs good corners. Obviously, the injury situation is the big factor there. How much do you invest in a guy who has had one 16-game season? Same with JPP. You know, he's obviously a limited player. I think the Giants have somewhat of an advantage because of their familiarity with him and his familiarity with them and the fact that they were willing to take him back. So I think that the Giants have the edge here. I think there's a lot of motivation to keep Jason Pierre-Paul in New York. He's not what he was, but he is still a very viable player. He gets upfield. He really provides something for you that very few players provide. So I think they'll make a pretty diligent effort to fashion a contract that will have plenty of incentives. And not so much on the overall value, but, you know, plateaus for him to hit that he can make some money on. And Ayers, you know, Ayers I think was probably the best defensive player that the Giants had last year when he was on the field, and that's the key, when he was on the field. He's on the wrong side of 30. Injuries are a factor there, so and there's a lot of defensive help coming in through the draft. So I think they'll make a good faith effort to try to keep him. But, I think if they let him go and he gets away somewhere and gets a lot of money, I don't know if the Giants are going to shed a lot of tears over that one. But I do think that Ayers has been a very, very good player when he's been on the field.
Bob, you know, we briefly talked about the combine, all the talent that was there this year.
Hey, Feagles, by the way.
Yes.
I saw, like, you know, you said, oh, so too many combines for you to catch. So you're getting back at me and us for calling you the old man of punters. So you're getting back, aren't you?
Yeah, listen, somehow, someway,
okay.
I have to, yes.
I'm back. I'm here. I'm here.
All I know is that when I came out of college, they didn't have punters at the combine. So that tells you how long ago that was.
My
point is, that's okay. I think that, you know, with the combine this year, I believe that you would agree with me that the defensive side of the football is where the talent lies this year in the draft. That's going to have, in my mind, somewhat of a bearing on some of these free agent signings for some of these teams at the defensive end positions, because I feel like there's so much talent there that some of these teams may be waiting to grab it in the draft rather than go have to pay all this money, because you say that it isn't a great market for free agents. There is a lot of money, and there might be a propensity for those guys to overpay for a position when they might be able to get some value in the drafts. What do you think about that?
I absolutely agree with that, Jeff, and I think that is the correct read. I think this draft is defensive heavy. And that's good news for a lot of teams. I think defenses in the NFL overall have struggled of late. You know, it's an offensive league. It's a passing league. We get that. But I think part of that is that, you know, just there's just not a lot of great defenses out there. And, you know, the Super Bowl winners won on defense, and that was good to see, and it was kind of a reminder of what it used to be like in this league. But I do think that there is, you know, this draft does lean heavily in the direction of defense, and I think that will absolutely have a bearing on the free agent market. I think what you'll see is a handful of players, and this happens pretty much every year, a handful of players get the big money on the first day or two of free agency. So Malik Jackson, the defensive end from Denver, is going to get a ton of action, and I think he'll sign a big deal. But I think that second level will be hit pretty quickly in free agency, and the price is going to drop fairly quickly because so many teams are looking at that draft and seeing so much talent, especially, you know, you get a lot of depth on the defensive line and at linebacker, and that's really good for teams when they're looking at their cap and you know, just looking at the landscape of the NFL. You always want to try to get younger and cheaper, and I think on defense this is a draft to do it.
You mentioned Malik Jackson, one of the top defensive linemen available. Another top defensive lineman available is Olivier Vernon from the Dolphins, Bob. They decided to transition tag him and not franchise tag him. The Dolphins got burned with a similar maneuver last year when they did that with Charles Clay. Do you think teams are going to be deterred going hard after Vernon because the Dolphins can match and it'll tie up that cap space for that three-day period, whatever it is, that the Dolphins have a chance to match? Or do you think teams are going to try to pluck him out of the Dolphins' hands?
I'd be surprised if some team or two or three don't try to make a serious run at him, because you just don't get the chance to get free agent pass rushers. Even if it's a transition number, it's obviously going to be higher. You just don't get that chance. And I think the Dolphins are going to run a risk there. I think what you're seeing there is, you know, a lot of teams are flush with cash on the open market, the Giants being one of them. But the Dolphins are not one of them.
Yeah.
And they've got problems. They've got legitimate problems with their cap. And I think that's a vulnerability that some team out there will be able to cash in on with a guy like Vernon, who is just a top-flight pass rusher. So, I think they absolutely run a risk of losing him.
He's young, too. He's
yeah.
young. He's got,
yeah.
you know, and that certainly has an upside. So talk to me and John and our fans a little bit about what do you think the Giants are going to be doing in free agency?
You know, I think they'll be judicious. I think Jerry Reese certainly has a lot of money, more money than he's had ever as general manager in terms of the cap. But, I don't think he's going to go crazy in free agency. You don't want to spend it all in one place and all in one year. So I think he'll look carefully, but I think he'll take advantage of that idea that there is a lot of defensive help in the draft. You know, I was jotting down a couple of names that might interest him. Maybe he takes a bit of a run at Malik Jackson. I don't know if the bidding's going to get a little bit too high. I think he's a terrific player, but, you know, he's not – let's put it this way. Von Miller makes him a better player, so I think he was helped by the people around him. You know, there's another guy in Denver, a linebacker, Danny Trevathan, who's
yeah.
not bad, not a great cover guy. And, you know, the Patriots actually tried to put him in coverage all throughout the second half of that game in the AFC Championship game, and he was burned. But, you know, as a linebacker, he's a pretty sure tackler. I guess they'll take a look at Bruce Irvin, but I think he's either going to Jacksonville or staying in Seattle on a big contract. You know, he's a very good linebacker. I tell you, Eric Weddle intrigues me, and you know he doesn't get a lot of buzz here. But and I know he wants to go to a team that he feels can win a championship. But man, that guy's good, and he's 31 years old. You know, he did not have the contract did not work out in San Diego. I think he's a playmaker, and I think he's a good guy to have on your team. He's very active, so I wouldn't mind seeing them make a run at him. And then just a couple of other lower level free agents. You know, James Starks, I know the Giants have a million running backs, and Starks is 30 years old, but every time I see him with the Packers, all I see is a high-stepping guy making yards between the tackles. And I think that, you know, you can't have enough of those guys. And, you know, Andre Williams, I don't know what the commitment is there, but he would be a guy, same number actually, 44, that Starks might be a guy to at least consider in that second, third tier of free agents. And there's one other guy that I look at, and he's a receiver, and the Giants could use a second receiver, you know, depending on what happens with Cruz. But there's a guy in Baltimore named Kamar Aiken. I don't know if you've heard of him.
Kamar Aiken actually had a pretty good year after Steve Smith went down last year.
He really did. Last year, and then this year, he had a couple of games where he was a stud.
Yeah.
And he's not a number one receiver, but
we
they don't
one.
Need that with Beckham.
Yeah.
And it's just a name to keep in mind. He's just one of those guys. He kind of has something that, you know, you just watch and you say, wow, that – who is that guy? You know, who is he? He's really good. So, you know, I think he'd be a pretty good addition, maybe, you know, in place of Reuben Randall, say.
We're joined by Bob Glauber from Newsday. I want to remind fans that Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings. Now, if you've never played on DraftKings, it's changing the way we play fantasy football. Just pick your contest, pick your players, and if you win, pick up your cash. Simple as that. Go to DraftKings.com, enter promo code CONTACT to claim your free entry today. DraftKings Fantasy Sports, free to play. Bob, you covered a lot of the positions there. One position you didn't mention in list of potential targets is the offensive line. The Giants mm-hmm. let go of Obedi and Jeff Schwartz earlier this offseason. The right side of the offensive line, I think, is probably a question mark at both tackle and guard right now, who the starters are going to be next year. Now, the Giants have made some major investments in the offensive line over the past three drafts. Justin Pugh, Weston Richburg, Ereck Flowers. 2 years ago, they went out there and signed Jeff Schwartz. 3 years ago, they extended Will Beattie. Do you think they're going to make another relatively major monetary commitment on the offensive line this offseason?
Unless you can get Russell Okung, who you have a commitment for and a belief in. Now, he's coming off some injury issues, and he's going to cost a ton of money. And then you'd have to move Flowers to the right side. I think they look at Flowers as the long-term left tackle.
I agree.
And you can put Pugh back at right tackle. I think he's perfectly serviceable. And then, you know, you have 1-3-5. You have Richburg, and then you have the two tackles, and you fill in at guard. I don't think that's that hard to do. In this day and age, I don't think you have to make a huge commitment there. You know, a lot depends on what they want to do with Pugh. And I was asking just at the combine about that. And, you know, I don't know that they have a firm plan on that. So if you put Pugh at right tackle, you know, you got your bookend tackles who are both young and both former first-round picks, and then you backfill from there. So I don't think that's that hard to do. If that is the plan, if you got to go out and get a right tackle, you know, then things change a little bit. But the left tackle is the one you really want to get, and I think they got a good one in Flowers, and they sure hope they do.
I want to just add one more thing on offense at tight end, Bob. Mm-hmm. We saw Will Tye play well last year. The year before, Larry Donnell played well. When Ben McAdoo and Jerry spoke at the combine, they said he's not quite ready to go yet. They're monitoring it. It's a neck. Those things can be tricky. We know all that. You're not going to take any chances. There are some young veteran tight ends in this group in free agency that intrigue me this year. I'm talking about Dwayne Allen and Kobe Fleener from Indianapolis, and I'm going to throw Ladarius Green from San Diego into the mix. Do you think the Giants will be in the market for a starting tight end, or do you think they're happy with what they have in-house?
I don't think they're entirely happy with what they have in-house, so I think they would look around, yes, if they had a conviction. Now, Fleener is the guy that, you know, people probably look at as the best of that group. But Fleener is, you know, he's kind of a pass-catching tight end, and he doesn't do a lot of stuff interior-wise. He's not a great blocker, so I don't know if that's the direction that they want to go in. It's possible, and it sure would add a new dimension to the offense, but he's going to cost, a fairly pretty penny. You know, Martellus Bennett is now available in the trade market. I don't know if you want to make a commitment back to Martellus Bennett, but he had one of the best seasons of his career. Really kind of launched himself with that 1 year he had with the Giants, and certainly a colorful personality. But he's getting up there in age. I think at media-wise, we'd certainly love to have Marty Bennett back. He certainly lights it up. But just from a pure football perspective, I think it's a determination that does Ben McAdoo want that pass catcher in Kobe Fleener, and then tell Jerry Reese, you know, please put that money, because they'll be able to compete with anybody. They'll basically name their price with free agency. So I think it's certainly a guy worth thinking about.
Well, I think that when you look at the history of what Eli Manning prefers, it's definitely a tight end that he can rely on. I think you saw a little bit of that in Will Tye last year, but not enough to get excited about it. But I feel like that's a position of need for this Giants mm-hmm. offense. I really do. I think
it is.
One other position, we talked a little bit about it, but not how we're going to replace Prince if he does go in free agency somewhere, is that cornerback position. John and I were mentioning this earlier. There's not a lot of depth that we feel comfortable with. What's your take on that? Are you seeing more maybe in the draft there, or because, you know, the Giants are going to need a starting cornerback aside Cromartie.
And really, you need two starting cornerbacks besides Cromartie, the way teams play nickel now.
Yeah, you really do. Yeah, I don't think you can have enough good corners, and that may be one reason why the Giants might be willing to at least go higher than they perhaps might be willing to, all things considered, with Amukamara, just to keep him. So I think there is. It is not a great class at cornerback in free agency. It's a solid class in the draft, but it's not as deep as, say, the defensive line. So I think they'll have some options. I think they'll be able to fill that in. I don't think they're going to have a problem at corner this year the way they had a problem at safety last year. But you've got to be able. I think safety is a huge priority.
Oh,
and Landon Collins, you know, he had his ups and downs. He had a few ups early and then some downs late. And he's got to get better. Usually that jump does come from year one to year two, but they've got to give him some help in the middle of the field. And that's why I think a guy like Weddle, to me, makes a lot of sense if the Giants have a conviction on him.
We're joined by Bob Glauber from Newsday. A couple more minutes with him on the Giants' free agency process, which will begin early next week. And, Bob, generally speaking, you mentioned it earlier in this interview that the class isn't considered to be particularly strong based on what a lot of people are saying, and there's really a record amount of money available in the free agency period. Mm-hmm. If the Giants want to use this money as efficiently as possible, and we know they can carry it into next year, and that's something they can certainly do, but they also have a lot of holes they need to fill. Do you think for the first time in a long time, the Giants are going to be right out of the gate, one of the first teams trying to get one of these top-tier guys, the top three or four guys in free agency, give them a lot of money so they can use this cap space as efficiently as possible?
It would not surprise me at all, John, to see Jerry Reese aggressive with one or two or even three guys with the money that he has. And he's done it before. Antrell Roll was a big-name free agent signing at the time, and there was a lot of competition for him.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, he had the year that they made a couple of big free agent signings. His name escapes me.
Chris Canty?
He did win the Super Bowl, the linebacker from Atlanta.
Oh, Michael Boley.
Michael Boley, correct. And that year, and they had a number of decent free agent signings that year. And so I think Jerry did a good job, and he has done a decent job with free agent signings. Now, the thing that gets you in trouble is you don't want to rely too much on free agent signings.
Yeah.
And that's you know, you got a lot of holes there, and you got to be able to draft well. I mean, it's kind of old territory now, and Jerry Reese has heard it, especially this year, but you've got to be able to really build your team through the draft and then complement through free agency. So too much in the last few years, it's been reliant on free agency. You know, Ayers, you know, maybe their best defensive player was a free agent signing. You don't want to see that too often.
And frankly, Bob, maybe their second best defensive player, Dominic Rogers-Cromartie, also a free agent signing.
Yep.
You're absolutely right.
So Jerry's been, you know, he's been competitive, and Cromartie is a perfect example of, as well as Roll, where a guy, you know, the Giants and Jerry Reese have absolutely been willing to mix it up and offer big bucks to a guy that they do have a conviction on. And generally speaking, you know, they get the right guys. But, again, you can't live on free agency in the NFL.
And, Bob, the reports were they didn't wind up getting these two players. But if you want to go back to Albert Haynesworth, where the rumors are the Giants were heavy in on him. And then last year, the rumors were the Giants were very heavy in on Devin McCourty as well. It just didn't work out. So,
Correct. You're
right. They are willing to go out there if they see a premium player. They are willing to pay for him.
Yeah, and you're talking about years when they didn't have that kind of cap room. And that's why I say it won't be a surprise to see Jerry go after one, two, or three players.
And those one, two, and three players would be at what positions, Bob, do you think? Seriously.
Well, you know,
I mean,
look,
if because
they need linebacker. I don't know that you got to spend premier dollars at linebacker, but you're looking at defensive end, you're looking at cornerback, you're looking at safety.
Yeah.
You know, maybe offensive, but I don't think so.
Not in those three, in my opinion.
Yeah. You got to look at rebuilding the defense, but, you know, I think the Giants are operating from a position of strength, both in terms of the money that they do have to sign guys that they do target, and from this year's draft being very, very deep in defensive talent.
Right.
Final one for me, Bob, and thanks a lot for the time. Bob Glauber from Newsday. And I guess it's going to be a tough one to answer. I'm going to put you on the spot. Give me one surprise that we're going to see either before free agency starts, maybe a team locking up somebody long-term before they hit the market. And I'm not talking about one of the franchise guys, somebody that we expect to be unrestricted, or a guy that you think will be quick off the board and get paid a lot more money than people think.
Well, you know, my biggest weakness in doing interviews is the open-ended question.
You and me both. I hate them.
And this is certainly the one.
That's a hard one.
I don't know. I don't know that there's going to be that many shock. I think there'll be shocking money early on. But, again, this is not a very recognizable draft free agent class in terms of big names. So, you know, one does not strike me. Maybe Vernon as the guy with, you know, we were talking about him before, Olivier Vernon. But I don't know. Lamar Miller getting stupid money from the Dolphins to stay at running back, because running backs shouldn't be getting big money, huge money at this point.
And you know what? If they do give Lamar Miller that type of money, then maybe they'd be much less willing to match on Olivier Vernon given their cap
situation.
That's
right, and that's why you got to be smart, man. You take the pass rushing defensive end who's 26 years old over the running back. Believe me.
Well, we had a list, and you know the NFL likes to put out lists, and one of those lists of guys getting overpaid would be Martin. He might be one of those running back guys that we feel like, you know, next thing you know, who paid what for this? I mean, that might happen. Last question for me, Bob, and we'll let you go. And thank you for joining us today too. Of that question that John just asked you, is there anybody in the Giants who are free agents on this team that you wouldn't be shocked to see come back at a last-minute signing with this team, you think? Like a Robert Ayers or someone like that, or do you just don't think that's going to happen?
No, I think Ayers – I think if the money is equal, Ayers would come back. I think he likes it. He's from the area, and, you know, he grew up a Giant fan. So I think he would like to stay with the – and I'd like to see him stay with the Giants for their sake because he's a terrific player.
Yeah.
I just don't know if they're going to go nuts on the open market if some team has a conviction on Ayers. And Ayers may be a guy who doesn't see his price go up as high as he envisioned. Some guys get frustrated now on the open market when they don't get the price that they're expecting. But you got to hit it early because, you know, after a while the money does run out, even though – a lot of teams are flush with cap room. They're just not willing to spend those big dollars and, you know, say, it's amazing how quick it goes. Reggie White spent, like, you know, 2 months on the free agent tour. Now, free agency's over basically in 2 days for the top tier. So if Ayers doesn't sign in the first couple of days, his price is going to go down to a point where he's not going to be happy about it.
But, Bob, you would definitely expect all three of those guys to at the open market. You don't see anything happening before free agency opens on March 9th, right?
I'd be surprised. I really would be surprised because I think the agents are telling almost all of their players, go to the open market. There's just too much money out there. It doesn't, you know, there's no rush. Just hit the open market. You can always go back to the Giants and, you
not
know,
always.
See what
not
the
always.
Market bears.
Not always, though, Bob. You know that. There's not always a chance.
Well, that's true. That is true, Jeff. But you know what? If you're going to take a calculated gamble, this is the year to take it. I think that's why you're not seeing a lot of re-signings. You know, Mason Crosby re-signed, and Flacco did his deal again. But you're just not seeing a ton of them, and that's because the agents are saying, go to the open market. There's $1 billion. There's literally $1 billion in free agent money that's available.
Bob, here's a good one. I got to ask you this before I go because I think this is a
you lied. You said one last question.
I know. I lied. It's fine. One. I enjoy lying a lot. I'm like George Costanza.
What, you got another open-ended question?
No, it is not. It is a very
– It's a layup for you.
It is a very specific question.
All right, good.
I'm surprised that a guy like Mario Williams, who got released by the Bills, and because he got released and he's not an unrestricted free agent, can sign with teams before the March 9th deadline and negotiate. I'm surprised we haven't heard more about him trying to strike early before money gets spent elsewhere and maybe get some money before the free agency period opens. What do you think the market's going to be like for him, a guy who's over 30, a first overall pick, had some production, but also some would say basically quit on his team last year when he didn't like his game?
I think, you know, he may be in for a little bit of a rude awakening, but I think he'll find a team. You know, maybe it's New England. Maybe Bill Belichick will get that guy and kind of snap him up.
Can you imagine that?
And pay for the talent. Yeah, I mean, but because he can always use help on the defensive line. But Mario Williams and, you know, Laurinaitis, why didn't he sign yet?
Good point.
Oh, he's got to go to the Giants. I mean, there's a reason for this, and the reason is either they're just not getting the action that they want and they're going to wait to see what the market bears, or they're just not finding a team that's willing to just pony up right now.
Sure.
So, you know, I got to tell you, we always see these cuts. Oh, Antonio Cromartie cut. Oh, and then talk shows. Belichick's got to sign him. Got to sign him tomorrow. Oh, really? No, the way it works is when you're cut, it means your team doesn't want you, and it means other teams probably don't want you. And when you're not signing right away, there's a reason. So it's just I find it fascinating and like,
it's called
wow.
Ability.
Like, there's a – hey, the guy can't play anymore. Roddy White, why isn't he signed yet? Why? Because he's over 30, and he was their third receiver in Atlanta, and they don't like him. They don't value him. So.
I just think that teams nowadays, the caution flag is out on guys that are over 30 years old. The way – but, I you know
– Absolutely.
And I think – but because of the money that's out there – because of the way maybe that they practice these days, maybe they feel that the guys that are over 30 can make it through a season now because obviously they're, you know, they're not hitting and not doing the thing. But there is a lot of, there's a lot of, what's the word I'm looking for? There's, you know, a lot of guessing on a guy that's over 30. Although, you know, your guy up in San Diego, it's Waddle, right?
Weddle.
Why do I keep saying Waddle?
Anyway. Well, Tom Waddle, Eric Weddle.
Yeah. But, I mean, he's a guy, he's 31, but you see a lot of value in a 31-year-old guy like that. So
I do. Yeah. I do because I think he's a I think that was one of those deals where the contract didn't work out. And, you know, San Diego, it's not the first time that's happened.
Sure.
Remember, Drew Brees years ago couldn't work it out. In this different general manager now, but still, it happens with certain players. And you know, if you feel a guy can, if you feel a guy is still good on tape, you take a shot. But over 30, it becomes radioactive unless you're kind of a special player. And that's why Ayers may end up being a little disappointed with the market that does form for him and other guys like that, and Mario Williams.
Sure.
Bob, excellent stuff.
Yeah,
thank you
stuff.
So much, and we'll talk to you next week. Bob Glauber from Newsday.
Thanks, Bob.
It's good to hear from you, Bob.
You got it, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me. I'll talk to you later.
Yeah,
you
absolutely.
Too.
Bob Glauber, great dude. Excellent reporter.
Awesome. Has a Hall of Fame vote, too.
Absolutely. I never thought I'd hear a punter, by the way, complain about there not being enough contact in practice.
Listen, I shouldn't be complaining about that. I never had contact in practice either. So, you know, but I'm just going on what everybody understands and what everybody sees these days. It's just, you know.
You're too busy swimming.
Exactly. in my opinion, I've said this before, I think that's why there is the wrath of injuries that are happening in football, is because on game day, it's 100%. On Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, it's not.
Fans, don't forget, Big Blue Kickoff Live was brought to you by DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destination. At DraftKings, you can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com, enter promo code CONTACT to play for free today. DraftKings, fantasy sports free to play. Jeff, prediction. It's an open-ended question. You love these. We're not going to have you on until Thursday next week because you're switching with Lance next week, so you'll be on Thursday instead of Friday.
Okay.
And free agent will have been open already. And I probably... You might know something about a signing by the time you host on Thursday at noon. There's a chance of that. Give me a prediction. Give me one guy or two or three, whatever you feel comfortable with, the Giants will have in hand, whether it's their own player or somebody else, in this free agent market by the time you're hosting the show on Thursday at noon next week. Go. What do you got? Bring it. And this is going up on the board, by the way.
Oh,
so the
it's
going to
go on the board.
It's going on the board.
Wow, you're going to put that on me.
There are four free agent punters, by the way.
Well, it's not going to be a punter, which, by the way, I believe that Brad Wing is a restricted free agent, so they have to figure out something with him. They should.
Don't cheat. Unrestricted free agent.
Don't try I'm going to go. System. I have to cheat because there's so many of these names
on
here.
No, you're
not
cheating.
I'm going to go, okay, I'm going to go with Sean Smith from Kansas City.
Ooh.
I just feel like when we talk about the middle of the field last year, and, you know, and Weddle will be another guy, but I think it's going to be in this. How about this? Instead of giving maybe one of the guy, I just gave you the guy, but I feel like the first guy's it's going to be on the defensive side of the ball in the backfield.
Defensive back.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Defensive back safety.
That's somewhat bold.
It is. It's not going to happen, but it's bold.
I'm going to put your guy Tom Waddle in parentheses.
Yeah.
All right?
There we go. Waddle. But I think that it's I feel like when you look at what happened defensively last year, that defensive backs, that they couldn't stop anybody. We got to address
now,
this.
Now, I know fans don't remember this. I do. Do you remember that play? I think they were playing either the Rams or the Lions. I know it was on artificial turf. And Tom Waddle goes over the middle, and he jumped for that pass, and both his cleats stuck in the turf. And I think he tore both knees at the same time.
Okay, that was in Philly.
Oh, that was Philly.
The
bad AstroTurf in Philly?
I was on the team, and I was in that game.
Oh, you were in that game.
Yes.
That was like, what, middle 90s?
It was 1992.
Wow, early 90s. See,
blew out both ACLs.
I remember that play.
Or either ACLs or patellas, both on the same play.
I was 11 years old, and I remember that. That's pretty good.
And that was horrible. I remember them working on one leg, and then they went to the other. I was like, well, wait a second. You know, and the poor guy,
both cleats stuck in that awful vet stadium. I forgot that was the vet. I assumed it was either Minnesota or Detroit because they play on turf in the same division.
It was the vet. And I remember it was just, how can you not remember that, right? The guy blows out both of his knees on the same play. That's bad stuff.
And now Tom does a great job. I think he's NFL Network, right?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely, yeah. But just horrible. So there you go. There's my prediction.
It's on the board.
It's on the board. It's not a great prediction, but maybe it'll happen. You know, it's hard to say.
All right. Well, Big Blue Kickoff Live all week next week as we get ready for free agency, folks. Again, the legal tampering period, the negotiation period, I believe is the official word for it. It's not as fun as saying
when's
legal
that start,
tampering.
Wednesday?
No, that starts Monday, dude.
Starts Monday.
It starts Monday. And then free agency starts Wednesday at 4 o'clock, right, Dominic? And you can check out Giants.com. There's a great free agency paid page at Giants.com/free agency. Check it out. We have top five guys at each position. You might not agree with some of the lists, but too bad. That's what we picked. And we'll go from there. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Thank you, everybody.
We'll be back with you on Monday as free agency gets going. And we finally have something new to talk about instead of the same stuff we've been saying for the past 2 months. Hallelujah! We'll see you on Monday.
Well, here we go, here we go. Here we go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go, let's go.
Down the middle of the field. He's got through. 35, 30.